faithfulness. It's great. You know, the word, you know, being a disciple means that you have got to be obedient. Isn't that great? Obedience is the earmark of a... Somebody has stolen my tissue. Got a tissue for me, Debs? Oh, there they are. And sometimes it's so hard to be obedient, isn't it? The word says that we must not neglect the gathering of the saints. And when I was discipled, I was told that you don't plan anything for the time that you gather together with your brothers and sisters. That you set that time apart and you make it special. Okay, we started looking at the book of James, and obviously, as everybody knows, the book of James is such a lovely book. It is about putting our faith into practice. We need to be doers. We need to be obedient to the word. And on Tuesday night, we got as far as the end of verse 18. So I'm going to read from chapter 1 of James, from verse 19. And it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive the meekness of the implanted word, which is able to save souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and pursue and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but the doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." There's just so much in these verses. I don't have much time, but I think it's important for us to have a look at it. Sorry, what was that?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. I don't know, I seem to be standing in a breeze, so it's lovely. But you know, it's important for us to have this heart. And I'm telling you, while you guys are here, you'll hear me from morning till evening say that it's no use just being a hearer. Really, we have got to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus said, "The proof that you love me is that you do my commandments." Isn't that such an incredible proof that we love Jesus? Is that we will do what he asks us to do. And what he asks us to do is not to sit in church and get fat, spiritually fat. Let me tell you now, there's just no room for spiritual fat people in our congregation. We need people who are going to take God's word and act on it. That's what it's about. It's about acting on God's word. What we did this morning, we prayed for one another. The Bible says we need to pray for one another. We need to uplift one another. We need to make sure that everybody is included in what we do. And sometimes that is not very easy. I just want to read a quick scripture out of the Psalms, Psalm 40, verse 6. Just to help us on our way. Psalm 40 and verse 6. And I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "In sacrifice and offerings you have no delight." Guys, I want to tell you now, this is one of the big mistakes that the Israelites made. They were into offerings and sacrifice. But they had no mercy and no compassion, and that's why God judged them. But you have been given an open ear. Isn't that great? God has given us an open ear to hear. But you know, as I say, that's the mark of a disciple is one who does. And it takes obedience. And if you look at the middle of the word obedient, there's the little word die. And we've got to die to self. And why do we got to die to self? The reason we've got to die to self is so that the new man can come out, so that we can be obedient to God, obedient to Jesus. A teachable heart is part of being discipled. I tell you now, if you don't have a teachable heart, you can't be discipled. And you cannot be discipled if you're not taking what you've been learned and put it into practice. It just doesn't gel. You can have a look at the big... let me not go there. Keep to the word. But if we go to 1 Peter chapter 5... First Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. It says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud and brings grace to the humble." And I'm telling you now, I just felt so great sitting over here, and there was nobody near the pulpit. Was Jesus' place. Isn't that great? I keep telling you guys, please remember this. I'm no more special here than what you guys are. Each one of us here has got a ministry to do. No ministry is for us to sit at home on our hands at home. God gives us something so that we can do. He gives us tools, the Holy Spirit, and we've got to do. And we are one body. And we know the teachings about the body that Paul gives us. He says, the big toe can't say to the eye, "I don't need you." Nor can the eye say to the big toe, "I don't need you." We all need one another. And that's the whole purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is for us to edify the body. So therefore, I want you guys, whatever your ministry is, to see it just as important as everybody else's ministry. But in humility, guys. And that's what's important, is that we do this in humility. I just love the scripture. I turned away from it. But it says that when the chief shepherd appears, and who's the chief shepherd? Jesus, right, he's the chief shepherd. When he appears... When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Guys, it's no use trying to store up treasures in heaven here on earth. We've got to store up treasures in heaven. And you know what we're going to do with these crowns when we receive them? When we get to heaven, we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Not that we see crowns, but the Bible says we're going to receive them. And we're going to receive them because of what God has done through our lives. You see, it's a matter of doing that crown of glory. And I just love this. It says, clothe yourself, all of you. Not only a couple on this side and a couple on this side. It says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. I just think that's so great. And there I was yesterday, I was thinking, isn't anybody going to recognize the fact that I'm the pastor of Elam Church in Malden? Yeah, what an ego. And eventually I just said, "Lord, thank you. You're identifying me to these people by what I do." And it's great. You see, that's what we pray for. We pray, say, "Lord, people must know that we belong to you because of our love for one another." You see, we're called unto good works. And if you're called unto good works, you can't sit on your hands. And I'm telling you now, Debbie knows, this week I've really felt rotten. Not, you know, just, I've had no energy to do anything. And I'm telling you, it's a spiritual attack. All of us are under a spiritual attack. The devil wants to he can't harm us in any way, but he just wants to slow us down. Because all we've got to do is resist him and he flees. I'm sure you've seen those movies where this dog is chasing a cat and the cat turns around and chases the dog and the dog goes, yup, 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 off he goes with a little cat chasing him. Well, that's what we are like when we resist the devil. He flees from us. We've got to receive with meekness the words of Jesus, really. There's no way we can get away from being meek in what we do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Guys, there were so many scriptures I could have used to make this point. You know, Jesus, when he came, he didn't go and sit under the tree with his disciples and spend day after day just sitting there under the tree. Or went fishing every day. I wish I could go fishing every day, but I can't. You see, we've got to take what God gives us and we've got to put it to use. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. This is Jesus talking. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat the house, but it did not fail because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and when the rain fell and the storms came and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Guys, we want to be like a wise man. You want to be like a wise man or a woman? Go out there and do what God has instructed you to do. There's no way of getting away from it. The ones who don't do what God tells us to do, Jesus says he's like a foolish man. Not me. Jesus is saying this. I can say it too. Don't be foolish. Be wise men of God. You see, because I always use this example. I really think this is so important for us to understand. If I asked you, just name on your one hand all the sermons you've heard that have meant something to you, that have changed your life and brought you to a new place, I can guarantee you it's going to take you a long time to find five. But I'll ask you, tell me about incidences where you've done something for God that has stood out in your life. And you can start naming them. I prayed for this person and that happened and I did this and I helped that man and I was kind to this person and that. Because that's what happens, you see. Where we start growing is where we start doing God's will. Not listening and getting fat, but doing. Doing God's will. Please, guys, I want to encourage you in the words of Jesus, don't be foolish and just not do what he tells you to do. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Let's be like wise men. You know, the thing is, Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 32, makes an incredible statement which we need to understand and experience. And the experience comes in the doing. Chapter 8, verse 32. Chapter 8, verse 32. Verse 31, sorry. Matthew, John, chapter 8 and verse 31. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in me, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you abide in me, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Guys, try and be free sitting on your chair. You can't. You've got to get up. You've got to get up and enjoy your freedom. The guys, Paul, and I think it was Silas, I can't remember now, they were in the jail, right in the bottom of the jail, singing hymns. And the shackles fell off. But you know what? They weren't transported out of the jail at that opportunity. This is one of those opportunities. They were set free, but they had to get up and go. And this is the thing. We have got to, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. You want to be God, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to abide in his words. And what does he do? He never tells us to just sit down and relax. It's about going out there. It's about us exercising the ministry he's given us. I just think that's so wonderful. I've got a whole lot of scriptures here, guys, but I need to. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And you see, thanks, Debbie, that's a good scripture to use. If you abide in me, and my words abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And what did Jesus say? He says, by this my Father is glorified. So God is glorified when he answers our prayers. And that's why I say, you know, guys, we've just got to accept what, we've just got to believe God. It's as simple as that. Believe God. You know, we live in a country where the NHS is almost worshipped. I come from a country where you've got to pay for your medical. And let me tell you, there's no shame in paying for your medical. But you mention anything about payment for the NHS here in England and they virtually want to stone you. But we, and I'm getting distracted, but I'm trying to make a point here that we put too much emphasis on the NHS, guys. We have got something far greater than the NHS. And that's Jesus. He heals. He makes right. He makes the blind see. He makes the deaf hear. He makes people get out their wheelchairs. And above all, he saves souls. That's the miracle of all miracles, where he reconciles man to God. Isn't that great? I think we can just end on that. You know, we've got to be doers. We've got to be doers, guys. We've got to get out of our chairs and do something for Jesus. And let me tell you, as I look around this room, I just know that there's a ministry in every single one of you. There's a ministry, whether it is hospitality or helps or speaking in tongues or interpretation or just loving one another. I'm telling you guys, you've all got a ministry. And when you perform your ministry, the whole body is uplifted. We edify one another with our ministries. And that's what I want to encourage us. And let me tell you now, if you want to preach one Sunday morning, you come to me, give me a little synopsis of what it is, and I'll say yes. Please, guys, this is not my position. I believe there can be many teachers in the body. I want us to grasp this opportunity to grow in Jesus. Really, you can only grow when you're exercising. You don't grow when you're not. And I just want to read the scripture again that Debbie pointed us to. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Bear much fruit and prove to be Jesus' disciples. Isn't that wonderful? That he has given us the ability to glorify our Father and to prove that we are his disciples because we bear much fruit. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have got the Holy Spirit to teach us. And Lord, I pray for us as a body that you would bless us with gifts. Lord, and I pray that you would reveal those gifts to us and that we would use them to the glory of our Father. Because that's what the scripture we've just read says, Lord, that if we abide in your words, what we do will then glorify our Father. Isn't that great? Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. Father, please let us never forget that you are our God. But Lord, we do thank you that we can call you our Father, that you've given us the power to call you our Father, that we can call ourselves sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, I pray that we would live in that way. Live as if we have been in your throne room. Live as if we have seen you face to face. Because that's what we need, Lord. We need to see you face to face. We need to spend some time at your feet learning from you. And then to go out and glorify our fathers by doing these things. And Lord, we do pray for our country and our leaders. We pray, Lord, for a godly government. We pray, Lord, for decisions to be made in line with your wonderful word. And Lord, we pray that the people there would have courage to stand up. We pray, Lord, that you give them the boldness to speak out for Jesus. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you for the following week. We pray, Lord, that you give us an opportunity that we can find somebody to love with the love of Jesus. And Lord, we do thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, shall we take an offering and sing a last song?